Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an update on today's pre-dawn strikes by Israel on the Assad regime stronghold on Mount Kasyun that overlooks Damascus, where the regime's Praetorian Guard, led by the dictator's brother Maha Assad, was targeted. Syrian-born Middle East specialist at the National Defense University, Muhaf Jujati, joins us to discuss what was targeted and how people in the war-torn nation's capital might react to the hated enemy Israel bombing the hated Assads. Then we will examine the regional implications of Israel's intervention in a bloody and stalemated civil war that the U.S. is reluctant to get sucked into, although that may be just what Israel is trying to do. Dr. Rachel Kleinfeld, the founding president of the Truman National Security Project, who was appointed to the Foreign Affairs Policy Board that advises the State Department by Secretary Clinton, joins us to discuss the likely repercussions of Israel's entry into this tortured proxy war. Then finally, we will speak with Daniel Byman about his article in Sunday's New York Times, "Mr. Obama, Don't Draw That Line." He's a professor at the School of Foreign Service at Georgetown University and the author of A High Price, The Triumphs and Failures of Israeli Counterterrorism. We will discuss the trap the president has set for himself by drawing a red line on Syria and what the ramifications are if the U.S.'s bluff is called and we don't act. Joining us now is Muhaf Jujati, who's a Syrian-born specialist on Middle East affairs, particularly Syrian politics. He's currently professor of Middle East Studies at the National Defense University's Near East South Asia Center for Strategic Studies, and he also serves as the National Program Officer in Syria for the United Nations Development Program and an advisor to the Syrian delegation to the Middle East peace talks. Welcome to Background Briefing, Muhaf Jujati.
Thank you very much.
And Israeli strikes on Friday at the airport in Damascus, where the military part of the airport were allegedly to blow up missiles destined for Hezbollah to be used against Israel. But what happened on the pre-dawn hours on Sunday at Mount Kasyun looks like a somewhat different involvement on the part of Israel, not just interdicting missiles that may end up in Hezbollah's hands and maybe use it against them. What do you make of these attacks on the headquarters of the Army's 4th Division, the murderous division run by the president's brother Maha, as well as the Al-Hamar fortress, which is the command post for the Republican Guard, which of course is the Praetorian Guard for the Assads?
You're absolutely right. First, there was the attack on an airbase close to the Damascus International Airport. This was to take out surface-to-surface Iranian Fatah missiles that were apparently kept in a depot in order to be transferred to Hezbollah. But yesterday was the huge explosions in Mount Kasyun, and I understand there were several targets. One of them was the scientific research center in the Damascus suburb of Jeremiah. This is where studies are conducted over chemical weapons. Another major target was the headquarters of the 4th Division that is headed by Assad's brother. This is an Israeli escalation, and I think it is meant as a very stern warning both to the Assad regime and to the Iranians that Israel will not tolerate the transfer of any sophisticated weapons or chemical weapons from Syria to Hezbollah that originate from Iran. So this was a major escalation, I think, yesterday.
And it's likely that surely some senior commanders were hit. This is not just sending a signal. This is attacking the top command of Assad's military forces.
That's correct. Now, the Syrians have said that there are casualties. They have not said how many and who. I understand from other sources on the ground that at least one senior military commander might have been killed. This is really hitting the core and the core of the Assad regime. So again, a major escalation. It's not only the shipments of arms to Hezbollah, but now it is hitting at the regime itself.
And right on top of the mountain of Mount Qasun, of course, is this huge palace, is it not, that that is Assad's home, Bashar al-Assad.
Bashar al-Assad has a huge palace in which he receives foreign dignitaries on Mount Qasun. The targets were in the mid to western sector of Mount Qasun. That is the Jeremiah Research Center. And then to the east of Mount Qasun, the headquarters of the 4th Division. This must have caught the attention of Bashar al-Assad, who is in the middle of the two, almost on top of Mount Qasun, yes.
But it must have also caught the attention of the people living in Syria's capital, Damascus.
Well, look, all of Damascus, of course, saw this huge explosion, followed by a series of smaller explosions. It lit the night sky. I have talked to several people in Damascus. They described it to me as far worse than an earthquake. The earth was shaking. The smells of burning and of gunpowder were throughout the city. All of Damascus saw and heard this, and they are absolutely petrified.
Well, Mohav Shirshati, Syrian-born specialist on Middle East affairs, particularly Syrian politics, who's currently professor of Middle East studies at the National Defense University. I was mentioning in my opening that this is the hated Israelis striking the hated Assads. So give me a sense of, given that 80% of the population is being murdered by the 15% of the Alawites who are the ruling ruling Assads belong to. So I think I'm safe in saying that Assad is pretty much hated, but at least by the 80% of his own people. Is that, give me a sense of what that means, where you've got the hated enemy attacking the hated dictator.
Well, again, you know, confusion and mixed feelings. On the one hand, you're right, Israel is the hated enemy and has been this way for a very long time from a Syrian perspective. But here is a leader who is murdering his own population, and so the enemy, I don't want to say is coming to the rescue, but is certainly hitting the regime very hard. There are those who say, well, even if the devil were to attack this regime, that would be fine with us. Here I want to inject also one point of a clarification. It is not, I think, fair to totally attribute this crisis to sectarianism. This is a popular uprising in Syria against a dictatorship. And though there are many minorities that are on the side of Assad, many also elements of those minorities are very heavily involved in the revolution. So it is too simplistic to say that it is Alawi versus Sunni. It is, in fact, the Syrian people against the Assad regime. And again, mixed feelings now. They don't like the fact that Israel is hitting Syria. On the other hand, they love the fact that somebody is punishing Assad.
But Assad's forces were recently involved in ethnic cleansing in the northwest area, the mountains along the Mediterranean coast there, which is the traditional Alawite homes. And there was a Sunni village in the midst of all of these Alawite villages that was essentially ethnically cleansed. So there's clearly examples of sectarian bloodshed going on.
Ian, this dovetails nicely with your last question. While the hated Israeli enemy is has bombed very sensitive installations in Damascus, the hated regime is bombing the population, and they have been bombing without any mercy the town of Qusair. And in the past 3 days, and this is ongoing, there has been ethnic cleansing in the province of Banyan, specifically in the village of Bayda, where Sunni villagers are being literally butchered and burned to death by regime elements that want to clear the area of Sunnis. I think this is part and parcel of the beginnings of a plan for Assad, a plan B, to, in the case he is defeated, and I think he will be, to carve out an Alawi state on the Syrian coast where most of the population is Alawi.
Well, this doesn't bode well for any kind of end to this war, surely.
It doesn't. It would be the fragmentation of Syria, and it would then truly be a civil war. What I see now as a popular uprising against a dictatorship will turn far more so into a civilian sectarian war in which Syria would no longer exist as we know it, but would be a fragmented state.
And my next guest, I was going to ask about the geopolitical regional implications of and whether Israel's actions are also aimed at the White House. There was a statement from former head of Israeli military intelligence that was kind of derisive in its tone, saying, "We, the Israelis, when we set a red line with Iran, we mean it," as opposed to the Americans, who seem to be a little squishy on their red lines. And we know that the president's being criticized for setting a rhetorical trap for himself. What's your sense of whether this is going to, regional players are going to come into this into this war?
Well, look, there is, from a Syrian perspective, there is widespread disappointment with Washington, in that Washington's more active engagement, and nobody wants American boots on the ground in Syria, but America's more active engagement would put a stop to all this, would force the collapse of the Assad regime. Now, there have been many arguments against this, one of which that Syrian air defenses are very powerful. Well, here Israel has proven one more time, this is certainly not the first time, that the Israeli Air Force can go in and go out and punish the Assad regime with absolutely no losses. So I think this puts further pressure on the Obama administration to become more active, to take the to be the leader and to lead not from behind but from in front.
But are you suggesting American boots on the ground? Wouldn't they become a target for just as they have in Iraq and Afghanistan?
No. One, this is not Iraq nor Afghanistan. Two, nobody wants boots on the ground. Not the Americans, whether Democratic or Republican, not even the Syrian opposition. But at least to create something of a no-fly zone in order to neutralize the Air Force of Assad, which is taking such a punishing toll on Syrian civilians. May I remind you that the Syrian Air Force has been bombing hospitals, has been bombing bakeries, civilian neighborhoods, shooting Scud missiles at civilian neighborhoods. So an American aerial presence, I think, would do the job. Again, no one wants American boots on the ground, not even the Syrian opposition.
So, Murhaf Shujati, what's happening, though, psychologically? I mean, the Syrian people must be totally traumatized. Their country is being destroyed. But at the extent to which public opinion is important, surely, to the eyes of many, the Assads must look weak. And if they don't do anything against these airstrikes, and they haven't done anything against the airstrikes by Israel back in January, would this have any consequences in the eyes of the Syrian people?
Assad is being ridiculed now. There have been a number of Israeli raids, and at each one, Assad spokesmen say that Syria reserves the right to hit back at a moment and at a place of its choosing. This has become a broken record. Assad is losing credibility increasingly. And so there is a fear that he might retaliate, but I think given the very precarious position he is in, it would not be to his advantage nor in his interest.
But what about the idea that, well, the Assad regime, in their propaganda, they're saying that, see, this proves, as we've been saying all along, the rebels are tools of foreign powers, in this case, the hated Israelis.
I think very few Syrians believe this, especially at a time when the Israeli Air Force is bombing regime installations and the Syrian Air Force is bombing its own civilians. So this kind of official Syrian rhetoric, again, is believed by very few. I think the intention of the Israeli Air Force was not to side with the Syrian opposition, but rather to be sending very strong messages to the Assad regime and to the Iranians with regard of to the shipments of sophisticated weapons to Hezbollah. I think Syrian public opinion is more sophisticated than the very childish, really, rhetoric from the Assad regime.
Well, I suppose what would prove that point is that the Israelis could probably quickly destroy Syria's air force, and they haven't done that.
Absolutely. The Israeli Air Force is in a position to destroy the entire military infrastructure of the Assad regime. But as they go in to make pinprick hits in Syria, again, to the eyes of the Syrian public opinion, Assad is using his air force not to retaliate against Israel, but he is retaliating against his own civilian people.
But the Israeli striking the brothers' headquarters, the Praetorian Guard that protects this regime, that is not a step in regime change. You think it's more to do with a very stern warning from the Israelis to the leadership not to transfer weapons to Hezbollah. You think that's the message, right?
I think this is the message. I believe the Israeli leadership is somewhat torn, but overall, they don't like either the Assad regime nor the unknown, what comes after the Assad regime. So I think for the most part, the Israelis are staying out of this internal Syrian squabble. Again, the message here, I think, is intended for Iran most of all.
And can they keep bombing these weapons before? I mean, how do you bomb these things out of existence? Just in the last minute.
Well, I think whenever Israel receives intelligence that there are stockpiles of missiles going to Hezbollah, I don't think Israel will hesitate in taking them out. And again, this was not the first time it did so. The last time was in January 2013. And it is as a result of a January raid and later continued Iranian shipments of weapons to Hezbollah through Syria that have triggered this recent air raid over Damascus.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Muraf Shujati.
Thank you very much for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Muraf Shujati, who's a Syrian-born specialist on Middle East affairs, particularly Syrian politics. He's currently professor of Middle East Studies at the National Defense University's Near East South Asia Center for Strategic Studies, and he also served as the National Program Officer in Syria for the United Nations Development Program and an advisor to the Syrian delegation to the Middle East peace talks. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the geopolitical ramifications of Israel's strike.
وأنا وطني حبك نار في فؤادي متى أراك يا